So I thought, what, just sort of a overview again of the Shishogi from last time, and then wanting to take it into a specific direction, which hopefully will be of interest to all of you. So kind of paraphrasing, Dogen starts off the Shishogi by saying the most important thing is for us to understand life. And basically what he means is life according to Buddhist teaching, what life is from a Buddhist perspective. And he very broadly maps out what that Buddhist perspective of life is, and then he goes into all sorts of different detail about it. I would say he goes into detail about Buddhist understanding of life in the remainder of the Shobogenzo. He goes into some specific areas in the Shishogi, but certainly goes into incredible detail in other parts of the Shobogenzo. The way I see the Shishogi is that it's very much mapped out, just like the three pure precepts, where he's saying, cease from evil. He has a whole section on that. Do only good, has a section on that, and then do good for others. And what I thought I would do is emphasize today, look at in more detail what he's meaning by cease from evil, and some things that came to mind in talking about that, which I think might be relevant to all of us. So when he's talking in the Shishogi, he says that everything hinges on the fact that life is impermanent. Everything hinges on that. And he has this paragraph where I would really recommend you looking at it and reading through it. He makes his case. He points out some things about that impermanence, which I find are deeply touching. They're very, very heartfelt statements that he's making. And my sense is this is being stated by a person who is deeply aware of that impermanence and has been deeply affected by it, and certainly will continue to be deeply affected by it. And he's trying to convey that as best he can to all of us who are reading this. So the one thing he says about impermanence is that it offers no permanent help. Impermanence offers no permanent succor. And I think the play on words there is quite interesting too. And then he says, because of the reality of impermanence, he says, don't live in a way where you're exposing yourself to impermanence, which is a very, very interesting way of putting it. I talked about that last time a bit too. I think we can go into that in much more detail. He says that we expose ourselves to impermanence by acting on creating and reaping the effects of bad karma. And then he goes on to say that bad karma is created by greed, anger, and delusion, by acting on greed, anger, and delusion. And I wanted to read an excerpt here from, it's a bit earlier in Zen's Eternal Life, on page bottom of page 10, for those of you who might be following or want to look at it later. In this section, on page 10, Rev. Master Ji is talking about basic original doctrines essential to Zen. So she's talking about teachings that we're more familiar with from the time of Shakyamuni Buddha. And so she says, birth, decay, death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, despair, not to get what one wants, and existence itself, as the world knows existence, are suffering. And then she says, all these things are karmically acquired. We've heard that before, a lot of times, but then just putting it in that context, saying it that way, and then tying this in with what Dogen's saying, I think is quite a strong statement. So exposing ourselves to impermanence, and we expose ourselves to impermanence by acting on greed, anger, and delusion. In other words, by creating, perpetuating these karmic habits. And Dogen is saying that's creating bad karma. That's what creates suffering. So basically, Dogen is saying, from a different perspective, from a different, possibly a cultural context, something he feels might be more relevant to people during his day and age, he's saying that, in essence, exposing ourselves to impermanence is the same as creating suffering for ourselves. So the bottom line is Dogen is trying to offer this teaching to help us find our way with and prevent suffering in our lives, which is exactly what Shakyamuni Buddha was trying to do also. So he starts off with, there's this whole section on talking about karma, and it sort of leads up to the statement of, basically, he says that we need to cease from evil. You know, and I'm kind of using the words from the first of the three pure precepts where it says cease from evil. And I don't know about all of you, but I know particularly for myself that I find, even to this day, when I hear that phrase, it brings up a non-Buddhist context. It brings up the sense of something external is telling me what to do or what not to do. Something external is kind of having sort of this more punitive or moralistic view on me. And partly what comes up is, you know, how dare you tell me what to do? But I think it's really, really important for us to realize that cease from evil is pointing to you yourself recognize that you have karmic habits of grabbing onto things, pushing things away, blind spots also, so delusion. Recognizing that internally and realizing that, hey, wait a minute, I really don't want to cause suffering for myself. I'm kind of keeping it confined to our each and every one of us as individuals, but this equally applies to, and it would be a whole other area to talk about, of course you want to cease from evil, you want to cease from causing suffering for others. That's a very big topic too. But again, kind of keeping it more confined to us as individuals. So I'm assuming there's some Japanese word that Dogen's using that translates into English as evil. You know, possibly he's getting that from even older statements, older as in going back to Shakyamuni Buddha, perhaps. So what I wanted to do was look at and read through a bit the Cease from Evil commentary from Reverend Master Jiyu. I think a lot of us are familiar with the Serene Reflection Meditation book. So it says, cease from evil, this is the house of all the laws of Buddha. This is the source of all the laws of Buddha. And if you got the connection, you know, what I was talking about, ceasing from evil, ceasing from greed, anger, and delusion, ceasing from making bad karma, i.e. ceasing from suffering, that's the house of all the laws of Buddha. That's the source of all the laws of Buddha. In other words, it's the foundation of Buddha's teaching is the recognition of suffering and trying to practice and train in a way where we are alleviating our suffering and suffering of others. And then Reverend Master Jiyu goes on and says that the law of karma is one of the five laws of the universe. And she's saying that because having that prominent a position in one of the five laws of the universe, indicating, as Dogen did in the Shishogi, how fundamental karma is as a reality to the life we're living in. All are bound by the law of karma once it is set in motion. Now, I think it's really interesting here because the word karma being used here in Cease from Evil, it's obviously pertaining primarily to its meaning negative karma or bad karma. But we all know technically that the word karma is referring to the law of causality, the law of cause and effect. So all are bound by the law of karma once it is set into motion. Once you start doing something good, once you start following the precepts, you're bound by that karma too. That we get to later in the other of the three pure precepts. But she carries on by saying that by accident someone made the course of karma. It is not intentionally set in motion. What happens or happened or will happen to you or to anyone else is caused by karma. By accident, the wheel rolled the wrong way. And I take that comment to mean right here, right now, in the present moment. If you're reaping sensation, feeling that's unpleasant and difficult, it was caused by accident to the person that you are right at this moment. It was caused by accident by, you know, commonly we would say, well, I did that a week ago, or I did that 5 years ago. But it's actually still, from your point of view right now, that was done by accident. It was not done intentionally. I'm going to cause myself pain 5 years from now by doing this, that, or the other thing. It's really important to realize that it's by accident. It's not intentional. And as Dogen says so strongly too, she says, do not continue the rolling of the wheel in the wrong direction. Live now without evil. So in this present moment, with your present understanding of cease from evil, with your present understanding of impermanence and not making yourself vulnerable, exposed to that, she says, stop the wheel now by cutting the roots of karma. And again, as Dogen says so strongly, you know, if we do not cut the roots of karma, it'll just continue. Here's another interesting thing too, and I think it's something that's relevant for all of us at all times in our training, whether we're newer at it, younger at it, whether or not we've been at it for a long, long time. Cease from evil, in quotes, is absolute. In thought, in word, in deed, in body, in spirit. In other words, all of these areas have cause and effect. I think she finishes off with, at the end of this cease from evil commentary, where she says that, do not worry about the karma of others. Each person their karma makes. And that would be kind of going off in another direction, which we could look at some other point. But I think it's extremely, really, really important for each and every one of us to take that one on board. And I know we all, you know, with family, with friends, with state and national events, you know, the ongoing pandemic and so on is a very interesting case in point, how much we should be concerned about or involved with what other people are doing, and so on. I think that when I'm thinking about this whole area, what comes up is that, to me, starting to get a real sense of the scope of what Dogen's talking about in terms of karmic consequence, and really, you know, he talks about just a little bit later where we actually admit that yes, I have evil tendencies, used, you know, in the context that he's using the word evil. Yes, there are still things I do which cause suffering. But as I think I touched on last time, to me, this is the turning point. This is the place where instead of it becoming, and I'm not quite sure what we want to use as a term, but it changes from being what we would call worldly life to a spiritual life. Answering machine, get it. And by saying that, what I'm implying is that karma has so much to do with cause, law of cause and effect has to do with the acting on greed, anger, and delusion and reaping the fruits of that in the form of feeling, physical feeling, emotional feeling. And it's so common for us, perhaps when we were younger, just kind of in general, that when we're not comfortable or painful, that we look outside of ourselves and say it's something about the external environment, the people I'm with, the situation I'm in, etc. That's actually the cause of my pain or discomfort. So understanding the cease from evil, understanding what Dogen's talking about with the law of karma and so on, it turns that all around. And we start realizing that the reason I'm feeling the way I'm feeling is internal. And we start directing our gaze, as it were, our attention more internally. And that to me is what the beginning of, or the hallmark is of a spiritual path, of a spiritual practice. One of the things that you kind of what realize eventually, and you know it takes us as long as it takes us, but you realize that actually the law of karma, understanding that, actually means that you are actually fundamentally free. You are the agent of your own feelings. No one else, nothing else. But this also goes very deeply, because Dogen again talks about, or Master Gyu talks about Buddhism in general, that our feelings, what we are reaping currently, are not only things that have occurred, say, in our knowable past, but as Dogen says, they're just things that we've inherited. It was kind of like that from the get-go. Or things happened to us that we inherited things that were really not in our what. Probably if we had had the choice, we would have said no thanks. But there it is. What this also touches on is that saying that we start turning our gaze, our attention internally, it implies a sensitivity, an actual real respect for, and a learning how to sort of soften and open to more and more things in our lives, in more and more things in our own situation. And I was just, you know, reflecting this last week and noticing how when uncomfortable feelings arose in me, and many of them were physical, but they could just as equally be emotional feelings, that there's still to this very day this very quick reaction of wanting to, I don't know, kind of, I sort of put a veneer in front of it, a wall in front of it, or there's kind of a turning away from it or distancing myself from it. And that seems to just be inbuilt. I would imagine it'd be interesting to hear kind of from some of you what you do when such things happen. But again, going very back to the very first paragraph in the Shishogi, birth and death as such should not be avoided. And this is part of what Dogen is really pointing to. When we are experiencing that unfolding of karmic consequence in the form of bodily pain or discomfort, in the form of emotional pain or discomfort, don't avoid it. And I've learned for myself, after I catch myself in, oh, there I am, kind of pushing that away. You know, there's sort of this reaction of, okay, this is just getting in the way of me carrying on with my life in my normal way. It's kind of getting in the way of me wanting to get on with what I want to be doing. And I'm finding for myself, I've found for myself over the years, that it just taps me on the shoulder metaphorically more and more insistently and more strongly. And at some point I will, you know, eventually will, okay. Birth and death as such should not be avoided. And birth and death, i.e. everything within birth and death, anything that's coming up for you particularly, don't avoid it. Soften to it, open to it. dare I say, welcome it. It actually might be more important, I'm saying this mostly for myself, it might actually be more important to turn towards that and see what it's actually offering than what it is I would like to be doing with my life at that given point. Sometimes I have found that opening up to a physical discomfort or pain, opening up to some sort of physical condition like an illness, something of that sort, doing that, I sometimes realize for myself, the reason I was pushing that away is because, oh yuck, here come a whole bunch of very, very difficult emotions. And sometimes what will happen is you will start remembering that those emotions there, they have a story to them. There's a context there. So it's kind of implying that there can be a lot there. It can be very, very fruitful, very, very rich. It can oftentimes, many times, really bring up, okay, that's greed. That's grasping. That's aversion. That's putting away, pushing away. That's anger. That's non-perceptual behavior. That's, eventually I might realize that, well, actually that's suffering. And start seeing the connection there. And just being aware of, as Dogen is saying, the tendencies we have for evil, the tendencies we have for creating suffering for ourselves and others. He has a very beautiful line, just because it touches so much on my experience. He says that when we're actually able to realize that, okay, there might be some behaviors, habits in here that I have or had that I really need to get a handle on, need to keep working on. He says that by actually admitting that, sitting up in the presence of the Buddhas and ancestors, it becomes actually more easy to bear. He doesn't say it's going to go away. It can't, because karma being a law of the universe, it just unfolds the way it will unfold. It's a natural law, but it is easier to bear. Wouldn't have been used necessarily back in Dogen's day or the Buddha's day, but we're being more transparent with ourselves and with others. I think I wanted to end it with one last thought, is that it shows how the three pure precepts, the cease from evil, do only good, and do good for others, any one of those that you move into, any one of those that becomes relevant for you at any particular time in your day and in your life, when you go into it, it can't help but support and bring to light more and more the other two. It'll bring together all three of the three pure precepts. And by extension, it will bring together all of the 10 great precepts. Dogen, in writing the Shishogi and sort of showing that trajectory of all three of those pure precepts, he's trying to say that it's all part of the same process, it's part of the same whole. So when I catch myself turning away from something that's uncomfortable and allow myself to go into it more and open up to it more, well, what I didn't say was it's really fascinating because I can sense the tension there. I can sense the suffering there when I'm keeping it at arm's length. And when I'm able to do that shift and let it back in, as it were, or keep myself from separating from it, there's a very subtle but very profound shift that happens there, where you realize, this isn't actually a horrible problem like I thought it was. It's going to unfold, it's going to be challenging and so on, but somehow it shifts. As that shift happens, we realize that we see the behavior that caused it sometimes And through that, we directly know what good behavior is or what doing the right thing is. So we're automatically already getting a sense of perceptual behavior. We're also getting a sense of what doing good for others is. We're aware of what there's almost invariably everything that comes up has to do with our interactions with other people, other beings. And in me dealing with opening up to what I've inherited, it allows me to know what good behavior is, and it allows me to behave more properly or better or nicer in the future. You know, Room Master Jiyu says, by accident, the wheel of karma was started. Invariably, you know, the teaching in Buddhism is it was started by past being. You know, we've accumulated karma from the past. We're actually helping those beings by doing the work that we're doing, doing the practice we're doing. So kind of in a small way, it just shows how interrelated all of those are. I mean, we'll see what comes up, you know, as we get close to next Sunday, but we can maybe, the thought was we can maybe kind of focus more on doing only good, and then the next Sunday doing good for others, and kind of touching on those a little bit more specifically. But that's kind of what I had for this morning.